141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another unmissable weekend across Scottish football. Celtic and Hearts go first to try and put pressure on in the title race. The Hoops will be without Julian Araujo, who we will probably not see again in Scottish football, but they will be backed by the returning Green Brigade. Ryan Nadiri's season could be over for Rangers, with them trying to catch up at Falkirk on Sunday. And there are huge games at the bottom as well, with the pressure very much on. Joining me tonight, you've got two men who don't feel pressure, Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
And before we get to the post-split fixtures and the C-word, this is not about conspiracy. This is about consistency. Celtic have consistently struggled against St Mirren this season. Need I remind anyone about a cup final last December? Rangers have yet to beat Falkirk. Two draws between them this season. And the last time Motherwell were at Tynecastle, they were 3 goals ahead at one stage. The moral to the story is, never mind post-split. Pre-split is the hurdle that has to be negotiated tomorrow and on Sunday. Jump to it, Scotty boy.
Yeah, last weekend before the split fixtures then kick in. Listen, it promises another weekend of big drama. Obviously, you went early with your Celtic prediction last week, Hugh, and they managed to come out as one of the teams looking at that day split fixtures, looking at it, saying that some of the games they can go and win and put some real pressure on Rangers and Hearts. Obviously, Celtic host St Mirren, Hearts host Motherwell. Really hard games to look at how they're going to be decided, and Rangers away to Falkirk, as Hugh says, haven't beat them this season. What happens next? We'll just have to wait and see again. It's been that good.
What a big weekend it's going to be. 01419511025. So give us all your thoughts right now, please. Who will be top when we return here on Monday night? That is the question. Give us your predictions on that one. Who will be top over the weekend? And will it change over the weekend? Because, of course, Hearts are top at the moment. They play first with Celtic. Celtic have a bit of goal difference to catch up, but they could overtake Rangers. Rangers can respond on Sunday. How does it all play out this weekend? Give us your thoughts. We've spent all week talking about what comes after the split. I don't say this lightly, but Hugh Keevans is right. What about this weekend? How big is this going to be before we even get to that? Who ends at the weekend top, and how do you think the games will go within that? Injuries playing a part this weekend. Danny Rule first up this morning saying Ryan Nadiri's season could be over. How big a blow is that, Rangers fans? He scores his first league goal, goes off at half time, and he might not return this season. Mikey Moore apparently with a small issue ahead of the trip to Falkirk on Sunday. Too early for Tor Romans as well. Speaking of seasons being over, he came, and I know you Celtic fans liked him, but Julian Araujo probably not to be seen again. He's re-injured himself on his rehab at Bournemouth, and that will probably be that. Colby Donovan's out, Alistair Johnson not quite ready yet, so clearly right back, a bit of an issue for you Celtic fans this weekend. But again, get your thoughts in on paper, which is where football is not played, but on paper, a home game against St Mirren looks a bit more appetising perhaps than a trip to Falkirk on the Sunday, or Motherwell going to Tynecastle, which has proven difficult for Hearts, albeit Hearts home record very, very good. So get all your thoughts into us, please, on 0141 951 1025. I cannot wait for this weekend, Hugh.
Oh, it's marvellous. You know, the injuries are one thing, but Celtic, for example, up against St Mirren, who plays up front? It has to be Iheanacho after his goal. And also Thomas Chivanchara. His performance at Dens Park last Sunday for me means he doesn't merit a start this weekend. But Celtic, as I said at the start of the programme, first day of the season, Scott, Celtic 1, St Mirren 0. I struggle all day long until Luke McCowan get a goal 3 minutes from the end. St Mirren, Celtic and Paisley, I struggle all night long until Callum McGregor got a 90-minute plus winner for Celtic. And then the cup final, St Mirren outclassed Celtic on the day and justifiably won the cup. So Celtic have to get their striking form together tomorrow. They've got the Green Brigade back. Martin O'Neill says that's a help. Hearts against Motherwell. Motherwell may have faltered recently, but they're still a real good team. And Hearts weren't a real good team against Livy last Sunday, that's for sure. And then Falkirk at home to Rangers, they've just been one of the outstanding stories of the season. So no matter who plays for Rangers, they've got to combat John McGlynn's very handy side.
Could be a massive weekend, Scott. Well, it's going to be massive, but in terms of the potential for change, as we head into the split, we don't know who's going to be top come the split. And we've got one match day to go. We never say that. Every season, we know who's top going into the split weeks in advance. We don't even know who's going to be top come Sunday evening as we head into that last section of the league.
It's just the beauty of how this season's went, and I think all teams throughout the league not showing huge consistency that's allowed for the teams to be so close. I think the fixtures, yes, you're looking at Celtic against St Mirren over the course of the season, they haven't been fantastic, but it is a game off the back of winning against Dundee last week that they'll be looking to go and really get 3 points, and you would expect Celtic to get 3 points. Obviously Craig McLeish has done a decent job in there at St Mirren, but Celtic have to win that game. Motherwell Hearts are just, I don't really know how to call that. There was parts of Hearts game at last weekend that I thought was really good. I thought obviously Shankland and Braga, having them two up front, the two best strikers in the league for me, they looked a real threat at times, but once they went 2-1 up, they just looked really vulnerable at the back, and it's not something you would really associate with Derek McKenzie's Hearts team this season. So is that nerves now? It's getting to the business end of the season now, creeping in. Then Falkirk and Rangers. Falkirk have got the semi-final the following week, so there's players playing for to be in the starting 11 come that game, so they're going to be at it on Sunday and cause Rangers problems. But Rangers without Nadiri, is it a chance now for Miofsky to come in and make a real difference?
Yeah, what did you make of that news today? Not insignificant injury updates from both clubs. Ryan Nadiri's season could be over. There presumably has to be
if you say the three are out, Nadiri, Moore and Romans, that does,
I think there's a much more chance Moore plays, but the other two certainly out this weekend. Nadiri's season might be over. Again, Martin O'Neill talking about Aroko is gone, never to return.
I think before we go overboard about Ryan Nadiri, you know, his goal against Dundee United last week was his first league goal.
Yeah, but he is clearly Danny Rule's first choice, so you know, we can't overlook that.
Again, you go back to the multi-million pound signing of Chermiti, and he has to rise to the occasion. I still think Miofsky's a better bet than Chermiti. With regard to Celtic, I thought Gordon Dale was spot on last night when he said that if the injury to Colby Donovan means that Anthony Ralphson has to start the match for Celtic tomorrow, you are talking about someone who's played over 100 times for the club, who is a current Scottish international. The main problem that Celtic have is that they need to sort out someone who can score on a regular or even semi-regular basis. And for me, Ian Atcher would have to start the game through the middle and let Maeda do what Maeda does from the wide position.
But at the same time, before you even analyse Anthony Ralphson specifically, he's now in a club of one. He's the only guy. That's the issue, rather than Andy saying that it's a disaster that, you know, he has, there's only one fit right back. What if he gets injured tomorrow?
Then they have to play one of the other right backs from their academy, you'd expect. But listen,
the pigs will be flying outside the studio window.
Listen, I do agree with you though, he is experienced, and if you look at the amount of games he has played for Celtic, international player, what it is a real opportunity for Anthony Ralston to go and make a name for himself at the end of the season if Celtic were to come away with the title. But absolutely, and Iheanacho has to start, but at the same time they have to keep him fit. Chivantura, for me, just didn't look ruthless in front of goal. No. Lacks conviction when he gets any chance he's put through.
But you come to it, Scott, you know, St Mirren are third bottom in the league. I know they wiped the floor with Celtic in the cup final in December, but if Celtic drop points at home to the team third bottom of the league, then champions? I don't think so.
Who's top by the end of the weekend?
Hearts.
The Hearts.
They beat Motherwell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just.
Okay. Who's second?
Celtic.
Think Rangers won't win at Falkirk?
I think there's always telling us that all three don't win
that's true.
The same weekend.
Once.
If Celtic don't win at home, then forget it. But I think they will just sneak past. But I'm paying tribute here to John McGlynn.
Yeah, they've been excellent.
To the entire club, to the atmosphere generated at the Falkirk Stadium. You know, Rangers have to be very careful there.
Yeah, Celtic in second for me.
Again, that's not, it's not even an insult to Danny Rule's side, is it?
No.
Falkirk have been that good.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the fixtures there. Falkirk obviously getting in the top six, and that's, as I say, is that semi-final the following week against Dunfermline. It just, they're a real buzz about the place.
Right, come on then, get the calls in. 01419511025, that is the number you need. Let us know who you think will be top come the end of the weekend, how it all plays out. As Hugh quite rightly reminds us, we've only had one league weekend this season, we're all three of one. Is that going to carry on? And if so, then there'll be some movement and it'll be interesting. So Hearts and Celtic up first, Rangers on Sunday. We'll get injuries into the mix, usual drama guaranteed, but we want to hear from you. 01419511025. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill talking about the schedule that Celtic have coming up.
I heard a couple of conspiracy theories. I thought that was just our part, really, you know, over the years. Nice. I think that we have the same number of home games and away games for a start. So what's the argument about? I would rather be in Hearts' position at this minute. You know, they're in the lead with games running out. Yeah, that's not a bad position to be in. But yeah, I think it's it could go anyway. Really, I genuinely wouldn't know.
Josh is a Celtic fan. Josh, who's going to be top? Who's going to be second? Come the end of the weekend, can you see movement? Do you think it will be a pivotal weekend, this one?
I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, boys, isn't there? This is the most titanic mammoth title race that we've ever perhaps seen in Scottish football. I think to have the three teams going toe-to-toe with you know, there's not many points between all of them. Celtic were being kind of written off, but they forced their way back into the conversation. They scored a lot of late goals by the consequence, but that's kind of from the team spirit, the character. My point about Hearts is thus, if the men and the women's team, or even just the men, go on to win the title, do you think Hearts will get Team of the Year at Sports Personality?
Oh my word, there's a question. I have no idea, Hugh. I would guess not.
Not a chance, no.
Does it matter?
No,
either,
not the slightest.
Stop.
If you win your first title for 66 years, you couldn't give a you know what about the Sports Personality of the Year award.
I don't think Derek McInnes will lose any sleep over it, Josh, will he?
No, possibly not. But I'd like to think, with the absence of McTominay from the list last year, the complete overlooking of the Scottish achievements, it'd be nice for Hearts to just get that nomination, and for Derek to get the recognition that he perhaps deserves from the coaching point of view, and even the women's coach, Eva Rowland, she's obviously leaving at the end of the season. It's been announced, but it's off the back of this great performance from Hearts as a club. They've took advantage of the slip-ups from Rangers and Celtic, yes, but recruitment decision spot on. Tony Bloom's a fantastic owner. Derek's a fantastic coach. And they've got a mix of experience and youth boys, haven't they?
Can I just give you the other side of that particular coin, Josh? If they don't win the league, everyone will say, you're a 13-point lead over Rangers. You've blown it and bottled it.
I think still, though, I'm not saying you'd be happy with third, clearly. But if you try to tell me that Hearts finishing second, that's not a disaster. That's not anything near it.
No.
You know, that goes down as a very big season once the disappointment,
I think, it will feel
settles.
Like a disaster.
That's what I mean. That's human emotion, isn't it? But I think, you know, in the cold light of day, when you look at what your targets are and then, you know, what you achieve.
I think if they weren't, and they were looking back at the games of the teams that have dropped points to, St Mirren, Kilmarnock's back to back, I think they would be the games that they would be frustrated by, looking back, if they weren't to win the league.
How big a weekend is this then from a Hearts, from them all, obviously, right? But just since the point was about Hearts, because last weekend there was the threat that they could be knocked off. Well, they were knocked off top spot from Saturday to Sunday, but
yeah.
There's a kind of falseness about that, because they then played on the Sunday, but it was only the 1 point. They're just ahead. You know, this is again, this is the next one. This is the chance that legitimately, if you like, with everybody having played the same amount of games, again, there's a chance for them to be knocked off top spot. They've got a home game.
Over the course of the last 10 league games, they've failed to win 5 of them. They haven't lost them all, but they've failed to win 5 of their last 10. And I thought they looked a little suspect against Big Marvin's side last Sunday. Not convincing at all. Go a goal behind, then go 2-1 up. And at that point, you're thinking, okay, 3-1, 4-1 maybe.
He looked good at that point as well, didn't he?
That was my take. I genuinely thought they looked, it was as good as he looked round about the box up until they obviously went ahead, and then after that you obviously see the slack pass from Halkett.
Yeah.
After that they just couldn't find any sort of response to go and threaten them.
I thought there was nothing wrong with the red card. I thought it was perfectly justified, and I thought they were hanging on a bit at that stage. So they don't go in to the game against Motherwell brimful of confidence, but they have that amazing support that is at Tynecastle. I think Jensberto Ascu could do with a performance out of his players tomorrow, and he's got the team who can do that, so it'll be a terrific match.
Thanks very much to Josh on the line. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. Speaking of numbers, there is no way your Celticometer can still be at 0% chance. I know you will. I know you're a cynic. I know the number will be low. I know you won't be willing to budge much. It can't be zero. Give us a one or a two.
I said to Scott before we came in here, I said, you know what? I'm going to stand by it until the very end, because when you all go to the memorial service in the Hydro, you can say, he was the guy that said, Celtic don't have 1% of a chance. You remember that one? That was his best.
But it can't be. It can't be zero. It can't be.
I'm holding on to it simply in the interests of show business, entertainment, and I know what's coming my way if Celtic are the champions.
What
I will say, in all seriousness, I still don't think Celtic have a team that is good enough to negotiate what they have over six games.
But you've also, 5 minutes ago, you've got them to finish the weekend in second. How can a team that moves into second this weekend have a 0% chance of winning the league? Come on.
Because I told you.
We'll wear him down between now and eight.
See when Celtic obviously came away with the 3 points after the game last week. What did you honestly think to yourself? What do you think back to that on Friday?
I thought to myself, to get away with another one there.
Let's bring in George, who's in the West End. Hi, George.
Hello, Gordon. George again. Hello, Dano. How are you?
Good, George. Good. What are you thinking?
Basically, it was just something I wanted to put across to you. I think he was saying that within the next 4 or 5 years, he thinks that hard to be contenders to actually win the league at some point with their new recruitment process. Things like that. I think genuinely, because how bad Celtic and Rangers have been, the whole Celtic's my team, I don't genuinely think this is the best opportunity that Hearts will ever get to win a Premier League title, because Celtic will not in any way, shape or form be as bad and as poor as they have been this season. And another point to make, which I just heard you saying there, to be fair, Celtic have been so bad, so poor, goals wise, everything. The Martin O'Neill effect is safe. Celtic in the position that they're in just now, they're only 3 points behind Hearts, a couple of points behind Rangers, and yet they have the worst season possible. And I genuinely do think, honestly, I think now Celtic may have the momentum to actually go on. However, Shoe's right again with the forward line. We've not got an out-and-out goal scorer. Had we had one, considering how bad we've still been, I think we would have went on to win the title. But genuinely, I think it's going to be so close that come the end of the week, they could all be in the same points, I would imagine. Although goal difference will be shown with Hearts and Rangers. But it could be that Hearts could beat Celtic, win, Rangers draw, and they're all in the same points with the right directors.
That would be quite something.
Oh, yeah, great. But, I think Celtic owe their fans an apology for having the Wilfred Nancy episode. You know, when you think of the 12 points that he left behind at Motherwell, Dundee United, Hearts, Rangers, in terms of self-sabotage, you go a long way to beating that one. But
Martin Rangers Neal, in the same situation though with Russell Martin. Look at the points that they had, a lot of draws, didn't they? They can both look at that at the start of the season.
Yeah, but tomorrow
they both had decisions that have affected.
On Sunday, Danny Rule will have his 25th league game as Rangers manager. 25. You know, they got the Russell Martin episode out of the way early on, and at least had the nous to think, well, we better get rid of him now because he's hopeless. But Celtic mid-season brought in the man who was hopeless. So I credit Martin O'Neill with having put Celtic in this position. My misgivings about Celtic are quite simply, I think, the overall nature of the squad. They're fairly mediocre, and the lack of a striker is glaringly obvious. And that's why I think every match is a hurdle for Celtic. And I go back to Dundee last Sunday. At 1-1 with 10 minutes to go, I've heard supporters on the programme since then say the same thing. 1-1, 10 minutes to go, and they're thinking, uh-oh.
See, the other point George makes, I think it's quite obvious logic. A lot of people are saying Celtic and Rangers cannot both be as bad as they were, the mistakes that they made managerially and so on, so Hearts will never have a better chance. At the same time, the whole point of Jamestown and Tony Bloom is that it is a project. It's not meant to come in a blaze of glory in one season. He was the majority shareholder of Union Saint-Gilloise. That's the example everybody uses. Yeah. In 2018, they then get better and better and better and better, and they win the title in 24-25. Now, I know we are the least patient part of the footballing world, but is it as simple to say that if Hearts don't win it, they'll never win it? What's to say that maybe it is second this year, and you know what, maybe even it drops to third next year, and then it goes back to second the following year, and they chip away at it? Do we know, can we be sure that this is, it's now or never?
No, we can't be sure. I think if you're looking at a previous work that Jamestown has done, that the stats do prove that they do get better after each year. They'll look to improve the squad. I think they'll become a more attractive team for certain place to come to, then looking to then move on to England potentially. You might see, I think there'll be a lot of interest in Braga come the summer. He's been a revelation. But at the same time, there's huge changes going to be happening at Celtic this summer. Manager, players out, players in. So it's not an easy fix for Celtic come summer, getting rid of a lot of the players that are in the building just now, getting a whole new team, which I do think they need about 7-8 players in, and a new manager then trying to get his methods across. So as long as Hearts aren't sleeping at the wheel, which they haven't been all season, and they look to get quality in again, I think Hearts are going to be there. They're in the picture now.
I think the Jamestown analytics and the general recruitment policy will sustain Hearts. And, you know, to answer George's point, I don't think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here. In seasons to come, they recruit well. Rangers recruit fairly well, and Celtic recruit very badly. So it depends who's recruiting for Celtic next season.
Oh, thank you very much to George on the line, 0141 951 1025. Good time to call. We will get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Danny Rule on what games his team face between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, general, I think very exciting schedule. Yeah, you can make your own opinion what you mean. For me, it was clear which teams we will face. It was just about when. We have to take game by game. And I think that makes the most important thing, that we look not to other things. For me, it's more important that we focus what we can influence, and this our performance in every game. With this fixture, it's really possible that all the three teams play on the last final match day for the title. But in the past, it was also over after the second or the third match day in the split, and that could be as well a great opportunity for us. Yeah, take our wins and start with three wins in the split. Looks maybe also not so bad for us. Yeah, but it makes no sense to look too much. Let's beat Falkirk, with a tough one away, and then we have a tough home game against Motherwell, and then we have
a very typically Scottish football week, this, where the fixtures come out, everybody's raging, then it transpires that Derek McInnes actually isn't that bothered, and here's Danny Rule, and now we just get on with it and play the games.
As I say, you know, everyone's going on about the post-split. Deal with what is up next. The game before the split is perilous for Celtic, Hearts and Rangers.
Let's go to Paul, who's from Oban, but he's in Albufeira. Oh. Just getting chasing the weather. Paul, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you on panel?
Good, thank you. Not as good as you, probably, sunning it up, but that's fine. What are you thinking?
Well, I've phoned before, but this is the first time I've actually agreed with your previous caller, a Celtic supporter.
Ooh.
Who I do agree that this will be Hearts. I think it's a one and only chance in the next 10 years of winning the league, as they'll never get a better chance than this to win the league, as Rangers had the misfit Russell Martin, and Celtic have handed Rangers and Hearts a great chance of winning this league, where they should have had it won, I reckon, by March, but with the mistakes they've made.
Do you think Hearts are due to get better though, Paul? Do you not think that's the whole point of when you get this Tony Bloom stuff? You know, you're meant to get better and better. I take your point, obviously, about how poor Celtic and Rangers have been, but is there anything to say they can't keep progressing bit by bit?
I think they can get better, but they're never going to face a weaker Rangers or Celtic team. If you look at the points total, this will be the lowest points total ever. There'll never, ever be a season where a team might get 81, 82 points and win the league. I mean, I think Gio got 91, if I'm correct, or 92, something along those lines, and came second to Ange. So I just don't see another year where a team can get as many low points and win the league.
15 years ago, Paul, did you think Rangers would win one league title in the next 15 years?
I actually thought they would maybe have three or four.
Therefore, the moral to the story is, how can you look that number of years into the future and say, do you know what, they'll never get another title? We're having difficulty working on the next 10 minutes, never mind the next 10 years. So I couldn't write off Hearts led by Tony Bloom and with a manager like Derek McInnes. You just can't say this is that one-off, it will never happen again.
Because the thing about Scott, you know, you're looking at, yeah, winning the league, but the first step is to consistently disrupt that order. You know, and Paul is right, it's going to be a low points total that wins the league. But Rangers came second last season with 75 points. The season before, 85. You know, that I think comparing points totals is indicative of the fact that it might be hard to get right up to that top. But is there anything to say this Hearts team can't permanently stay in the conversation? Or even, again, permanently is the wrong word. Every odd season, maybe it's second, maybe they improve, and then, okay, Celtic and Rangers aren't as bad as they have been this season, but they still drop off a bit. One of them drops off. They're getting better all the time with Tony Bloom.
Yeah, I do feel that they will be in the picture now, and it's purely based on Jamestown and Tony Bloom. I do think if they were to win the title, you think they would invest again. They would want to obviously get certain players in for European football, and that would obviously be their next target. If they weren't and they finished second or third, then they'll feel how close they've been, and again, they'll strengthen. You look at the club you spoke about, Union Saint-Gilloise. Obviously, Brighton have always had a history recently of producing players and having really good managers, young managers come through. That is the model that's going to be there at Hearts. There's nothing to suggest at this moment that they can't split Rangers and Celtic over the next few years.
Anyway, Paul, with your Rangers hat on, what does this look like from here on in? Where do you think you'll be come the end of the weekend?
Well, the good news is Hughes predicted the Rangers will be third.
Exactly.
So that means, in my eyes, we will not be third.
I've also tipped you to win the title.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, take that away, please, Hugh. Please.
You're too late, I've said it.
I've listened to the show too long to take your predictions, please.
Oh, well, it's too bad because it's out there. Enjoy your holiday.
What do you think, Paul, then? Do you come through this weekend?
I personally think if Rangers win this weekend, I think Hearts will drop points. I think Celtic will win. So that puts us top of the league. And it's going to be very close. But I do think with Big Fernandes coming back, we are the favourites, without a doubt.
What do you make of Ryan Nadiri potentially having his season over, Paul? Is that a concern to you?
Yep. I mean, I actually missed the game at the weekend there because I had to come on holiday, unfortunately.
Oh, heartbreaks for you.
I did watch it on Gordon Dale's streaming device he uses.
Maybe don't admit that, that's fine.
Yep. And I was shocked when he came off at half time because I thought he's playing brilliant as a lone striker. So when he came off, I thought, why? Maybe they've agreed for that because of international breaks or whatever, but obviously now we'll find out he's injured. And I do think, you said he's only scored one goal in the league, but what he brought to our team is intensity, press and everything. You've seen it with your own eyes. And okay, he might not get the goals, but he played his first game up front by himself and he scored a goal, and I thought, here we go. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen for him.
Interesting but to see. I was going to say, Paul, though, do you think that Rangers continue to play this way and Miovski just comes in, or do you actually think it goes back to one of the strikers playing and, I don't know, Asgard or whoever? I know he started the last game, but, you know, one of the other attackers comes in.
No, Miovski for me. He's a sub, and that's it, the best he'll be at Rangers. I hope he leaves at the end of the season because he's just not good enough. But Chermetti is good against the so-called better teams. So we've got to play Hearts, we've got to play Celtic. Obviously, Motherwell are a great team this year. And I hope Chermetti, who I do think is going to leave for 20-odd million, will do the business for us and win us the league.
Scott, what do you think? Because Paul's saying that that's a change of shape then. And I take Hugh's point is that, you know, Nadir had only scored one league goal, but if you're changing shape because somebody's injured, that's significant. Not saying bad, but it's significant.
Significant when they're off the back of scoring 8 goals at home over the last 2 games. It purely depends where Danny Rowe sees Miovski. Like, I think when you look at the cup game against Celtic, he didn't even go on the pitch in the cup game, and it went on for, it was a game where Rangers had to score a goal. So I don't think he's a massive fan, but at the same time, when you're going to win league, you need strikers on the pitch. Guys who, yes, they might not be prolific at this moment in time, but they might just take that chance and that kicks them on. It brings a bit of confidence. So I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe does. Whether he does that or not going to Falkirk, I still think that physical advantage they do have from set pieces could be a way Rangers could win the game on Sunday, but it's not going to be easy for them.
It's unfathomable. Chermetti against Celtic at Ibrox, the 2-2 draw. His first half performance, you thought he could be the best striker in Britain. And then dross after that.
I think the second half was a victim of how Rangers actually dropped off the game as a team, though, and Celtic did improve.
I think you have to put up with the fact that Chermetti needs 4 chances to score once. But I still think Chermetti and Miovski, Paul's written off Miovski, but I don't think that's justifiable. I still think there are goals from Chermetti and Miovski which will be crucial in the days and weeks ahead.
Let's hear from Danny Rule on Ryan Nadiri's absence.
Yeah, we assessed him. I think it's a serious one. We don't know when he's back. I think general by this kind of injury, if you have muscle injury, then you have to look week by week. We have to rescan him in 2 weeks, and then we will know more about how long. It's always not nice when you lose players from your squad. I think sometimes in football it happens. For this we need everyone in the squad. I said this many times. I think Ryan made a great impact since he arrived, not just the goals, and he worked hard for this first goal now since a couple of weeks, but also a lot of work off the ball, against the ball, a lot of runs for the team. But it's football, we have to look for a new solution then again. We have a lot of players that are available, that are ready for this, and we have to stick together, and then we go forward, of course.
Thank you, Paul. Do you see what you've done, Hearts fans? You've got Celtic and Rangers fans agreeing with each other on this show. We told you it was a season like no other. Before we go on, let me just quickly mark your card. I want to tell you about Shooting Stars, a charity football match taking place this weekend, Sunday the 12th of April, Broadwood Stadium, all in aid of Alzheimer's Scotland. A mix of former footballers, celebs, going head-to-head, Scotland taking on the rest of the world, the likes of James McFadden, Lee McCulloch, Sanjeev Kohli, Matt Costello from Still Game, all taking on Jim Goodwin, Nacho Novo. It says here Marvin Bartley. I don't think health and safety will pass that off. I don't think there's a chance he's allowed.
Nah.
To dodge him his way around and kick people. But anyway, £10 for a ticket, under 18s go free, all for a good cause. Get yours alzscott.org/stars. That's alzscott.org/stars.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here at 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so why not come on down, let us know what you're thinking ahead of a big weekend. It is going to be incredible. Celtic and Hearts go first, Rangers catch up on Sunday, and we've not even got to what's happening down the bottom of the table as well. So do keep your calls coming in, because it's going to be unmissable. We want your predictions, your thoughts. Tell us where your confidence levels are. You're actually entitled to change your mind every 2 minutes, because everybody in here is doing it anyway, and that's the way it's going to be from now until the end of the season, you suspect. Hearts fans, I'd like to hear from you, because the Rangers and Celtic fans have got an awful lot to say about this being your one and only chance to win the title. So why not come and exercise your right to reply? Gav is on first though, from Drumchapel. Hi Gav. Gav, can you hear us?
Yes, sorry, I can hear you.
Oh, you're all good. What's happening then? What's your point tonight?
It was purely, what was one of the callers that was on, I think it was a Rangers supporter, talking about, basically saying about Hearts, but it seemed a bit kind of disrespectful to Hearts, because they've did what Rangers and Celtic haven't done this season, it's accumulate more points. In the statement they made, well, that he doesn't think that they'll have another chance in up to 15 years, I think that's not right, because you don't even know what Rangers and Celtic are going to look at this season.
Yeah, I think that's it, Hugh. It's the unpredictable nature of it all, because you can probably go overboard and say, I mean, Celtic will never fall off the way they have this season. Well, they did six years ago.
Yeah.
And again, that one came out the blue, and in fairness, recovered very quickly. A certain Ange Postecoglou waltzed in.
They got lucky, Celtic, with Ange.
But you know, that's two fall off a cliff seasons in the space of 6 years. I don't think the Rangers fans need us to remind them how many...
No
disasters they've had over
first
that,
of all, do you think
that
they got
period?
Lucky with Ange?
Purely and simply because they took a punt on someone who was in Asia, was from Australia, and he, after six games, he had three wins, three losses, and it was in balance. And then Ange Postecoglou took off, and Celtic were very, very fortunate to have him, and they miss him still. But if you look at everyone individually, it's impossible to say that 10 years from now Hearts still won't have won the league. How do you know? Because their recruitment is first class, and I do take Scott's point that Braga might go or whoever might go in the summer, but they have the analytics and everything, the data behind them, and they will get other good players. Celtic at the moment, the problem the Celtic fans have is that their club has nothing. In terms of infrastructure, Celtic have nothing.
In fairness though, again, we're going to wait and see how that plays out, because we made a lot about Jamestown, Braga. Kizaridis isn't finishing the season that strong.
Chesnikov, not great.
Chesnikov,
Leonard's came in on loan, who's, I think he's been good, but he's obviously on loan.
Again, maybe he'll be, these guys will be better next season, but I don't think we're quite in the same, everything Jamestown has touched has turned to gold for Hearts this season in terms of recruitment.
No, not for me. I think it's obviously the players we speak about there. I think obviously when you have a striker like Braga, who is all action and he's got that quality in front of goal, I think that obviously highlights that you can go and pluck one from lower divisions in Europe and they can come and be a star, and he has been the star at Hearts. But he looked even better at the weekend, I think, just with Lauren Shankland next to him. I think they're definitely a partnership. Kizaridis, he's got that natural pace, hasn't he, where he can go by a guy, but he stands one up to the back post for Shankland, but he hasn't been as consistent as a Braga has been. But there has been misses there as well. I think it's whether the Jamestown can find guys who can come in and be more like a Braga and a Kizaridis, and you don't always get them. You don't. Celtic have had some over the years. This year they've got most of them wrong, if not all of them.
But I repeat, if we don't know what's going to happen between now and the 16th of May, how can we start predicting what's going to happen 10 years from now?
Don't make outlandish statements, says Hugh Keevans. Honestly, yes. this truly is...
Stick by me.
Incredible. Gav, you're a Rangers fan, is that right?
That's what I think as well. This has probably been, even though it's not went our way, it's probably been one of the best seasons for ages, because when was the last time it was a three-horse race? It was nearly a four-horse race if it wasn't for Motherwell kind of fought in front of you, but...
What are you thinking specifically about your own prospects then, and when you look at this weekend and what's still to come and all that stuff, how confident or otherwise are you?
But I'm obviously going to want Rangers to win, but as again, at this moment in time, it's either going to be Rangers, Hearts or Celtic, so it's like anybody's just now.
That's no fence sitting. Gav's right in that fence.
I'm touched tonight by the way that the Celtic and Rangers fans are getting together to say, don't write off Hearts in the future.
Some of them are writing them off. Gav's sticking up for them, but some the other ones have been. They've been writing them off. You haven't beaten Falkirk this season yet, Gav. That's, I mean, obviously there was the whole Russell Martin era, and we know how that ended for him. At the same time, Falkirk have been really good as well, so it's probably a bit of a combination. Do you think you can go and change that this weekend?
I hope the mentality's different, knowing what's at stake.
I don't see why the mentality would be any different. You know, the Rangers pressure. Players. Yeah, but the Hearts, Motherwell, Hearts, Celtic, and Rangers all have to deal with pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, so far as mentality is concerned, if you aren't fully aware of what's going on game by game, then your team's sunk.
The last time they went there, Rangers were actually playing the ball in the channels and trying to get up and physically get up against Falkirk. What Falkirk do is they can keep the ball. That's the one thing about this game. Rangers won't have a lion's share of the ball.
I've really admired how Falkirk adapt, and forgive me for viewing everything through the lens of Motherwell. But when Motherwell went there, Falkirk just played completely different. It was such a specific game plan. John McGlynn clearly thought it all out in these famous hour-long video meetings he does and all that stuff, and it was just tailor-made to stop Motherwell that night, and they did. And then they went to Fir Park last week, did something completely different, were deserved winners, scored good goals.
Still that same shape, wasn't it? 4-2-2-2, so but looking to go and press people in the right areas, they'll have the same sort of thing. John McGlynn will have that. That's how he approaches every game. He'll look at that Rangers team and think there's ways that they can go and hurt them. It's up to Rangers and Danny Rowe to have some sort of plan to go and hurt Falkirk.
Gav, are you worried by Ryan Nadiri's absence or not?
Definitely, because he's a big structure up front, so I think that he will be missed. Hopefully, Shomity kind of steps up to the plate as he done the Celtic game. He played well with the Celtic game, but I'm hoping that Shomity kind of saves the day. Hopefully,
it's too early for Romans as well, Scott, which would be perceived as a blow because of how good he's been really and how attacking creative he's been. That said, he missed the game last week, and it didn't necessarily hold Rangers back too much.
Yeah, I do. I do think he's an upgrade on Magoma. Magoma obviously coming down, he hadn't had much first team football, but when he did come in last week, he was fairly steady. But I do feel Romans will be a miss coming to this split if they can't get him back in time for the next couple of games. Because for me, he looked like he had real energy going down that left hand side. I just think Magoma, when he plays, it's an easy out ball for a team playing against him because he lacks that physicality. So if you're a Barney Stewart, you're peeling off to the back post looking to get above someone like Magoma.
I go back to one of your well-trodden paths.
Oh.
Falkirk versus Rangers. Rangers are missing a couple of players. Boo, boo. Yeah. Falkirk get on with it and build a team from a two-bob stance. Rangers will get multi-million pound players. Boo, hoo.
He's no messing about tonight. He's no time for sympathy.
I think Gordon was just asking how much a miss he was going to be.
Who's asking you?
Gordon was.
Thank you very much to Gav on the line. It's going to be brilliant whatever way you look at it. The guys will have you well covered across the weekend, so make sure you get involved in those shows as we work our way through the drama. It is guaranteed. It has been all season really, but it's really cranking up. But let's bring some drama of our own to proceedings if we can.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Been a real mixed bag on Beat the Pundit this week. Simon Donnelly lost again last night. He was convinced he'd won as well. He did okay, but the caller was even better. And we've even had a 1-0 win for Alex Ray.
Night of shame. It was for Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, a 1-0 win for Alex Ray.
What
the other
was the
night.
They
were quite tough. I can't even remember.
What's your first name?
Let's see if we can make it a bit more straightforward this evening. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So you come on, you answer the same set of questions as Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans. Whoever gets the most answers is the winner. You get the bragging rights, most importantly, or you get to choose as well a sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. The lines do close at 7 though, so please be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is in the building alongside Scott Allen, and they are both waiting for you to get in touch here until 8 o'clock. So let us know all your thoughts ahead of the next unmissable chapter in the Scottish Premiership title race. Three massive games at the top, big games all across the division actually, but of course the top of the table taking much of the attention. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's go for Beat the Pundit. Let's see who's going to win to finish off the week. I said Simon Donnelly lost last night. Hugh Keevans lost last week when he played. Alex is on the line. How are you, Alex?
Fine, pal. How are you?
You're a Hearts fan, Alex?
Yes.
What's got more chance of happening? You winning the league or winning Beat the Pundit?
Hearts winning the league.
He's not backing himself. He is not backing himself. We'll maybe talk Hearts when we're finished. Let's toss the coin first and see who you will take on. If it is the blue side, it's blue for Hugh. He's the only pundit that rhymes with, so it rolls off the tongue on a Friday. And red for Scott Allen. Let's see what we've got. And it is blue for Hugh up against Alex from Denny. So what we'll do here is give Hugh something else to listen to. You, Alex, have got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, okay.
Right, you've got 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many league titles did Andy Robertson win at Liverpool?
Two.
What nationality is Ryan Nadiri?
Belgian.
Martin O'Neill won two European Cups under which manager?
Oh, pass.
Who does Stuart Kettlewell manage between Motherwell and Ross County?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Roy Aitken or Kenny McLean?
Kenny McLean.
Which company sponsored the top flight from 1999 to 2007?
Back of Scotland.
Who did Derek McInnes replace as permanent Hearts manager?
Neil Cuskey.
Okay, Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
Music must have been loud tonight. I could hear it coming out of your headphones.
Was that from Dirty Dancing or something, that tune?
What was it called?
Such a Feeling or something, I don't know. Not a patch on Tony Bennett.
Let me sign you up for the big music quiz. That would Such a Feeling.
I think it's from Dirty
what
Dancing.
What a Feeling.
What a Feeling, that was it.
Ah, right, no, that's... Ah, never mind.
Flash dance. Yeah, yeah. I knew it was a dance something.
Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions, and your time starts now. How many league titles has Andy Robertson won at Liverpool?
Two.
What nationality is Ryan Nadiri?
German.
Martin O'Neill won two European Cups under which manager?
Brian Clough.
Who did Stuart Kettlewell manage between Motherwell and Ross County?
Kilmarnock.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Roy Aitken or Kenny McLean?
Roy Aitken.
Which company sponsored the top flight from 1999 to 2007?
Oh, pass.
Who did Derek McInnes replace as permanent Hearts boss?
Gone.
Okay, it wasn't Mr. Gone, I'm afraid. Alex, how do you think it went?
I think he's just beat me.
Let's go through them and find out. How many league titles has Andy Robertson won at Liverpool? It is two. 2020 and 2025 announced last night that he's leaving. If anybody's got any thoughts on that, a tribute to him, or where you think he should go next, then please give us your thoughts on that. And Ryan Nadiri is German. 2-1 Hugh Keevans. I'm afraid it goes 3-1 because Brian Clough was the Nottingham Forest manager that Martin O'Neill played under. 4-1 Ross County, Motherwell, but Kilmarnock in between for Stuart Kettlewell. Alex, it's not going great, I have to admit. Did you say Kenny McLean? I think you did.
I did.
Yeah. Roy Aitken's got 57, Kenny McLean's 56. So it's a sneaky one, but it is still Roy Aitken. Hugh Keevans has got 5 in a row at this point. You've only got 1, Alex. However, you rallied a bit at the end. Bank of Scotland.
Oh.
From 99 to 2007. And of course, the Hearts fan was going to get this. Neil Critchley, remember him?
Oh, dear me.
So do you know what, Alex? It wasn't too far off in the end. It was a 5-3. It was a bit of a roller coaster. Hugh Keevans gets the job done. You'll take that.
You better believe it.
Say that again, sorry, Alex.
I done better against you than I did last time. You beat me 4-1. I beat me 4-1 last time.
Oh dear, how did that happen?
I panicked last time, to be fair.
Ah, so you're back with more experience now.
I'm getting older now. I've slowed up. So you were nearly there, Alex. But anyway, you win the title.
I had you down for honestly going for the 10. And then your Bank of Scotland knowledge.
I'm surprised that threw.
And then you unravelled with the Hearts one off.
But I mean, Neil Critchley, even you, Alex, must have drawn a veil over Neil Critchley.
Oh well, I tried to, but when the answer came up though, it's hard to forget.
The worry for Alex is that you are Hearts. Start strong and tail off at the end.
Mm.
But to be fair, you still got the job done. So maybe that, analogy doesn't work.
Like I said, in the Hearts' last 10 league games, they failed to win 5 of them. They haven't lost 5, but they've failed to win 5 of them. That's the worry.
Will you still be top at the end of the weekend, Alex?
I think so. I think we'll get the job done at Tynecastle on Saturday. It won't be easy, but obviously Motherwell have kind of fell away the past few weeks here, but just hopefully go and get the job done and then just look forward to the split. Obviously that Hibs game, first game back after the split's the big one, I think, for us.
Yeah. Again, there's a natural focus goes on because Motherwell were 3-0 up and they were deserving of being 3-0 up and they were outstanding. But then Hearts really rallied, brought it back to 3. They could have won the game. It was 0-0 at Fir Park. But that doesn't undo the fact that Hearts' home record is really good. They get the job done. Whether it's been 1-0 or not in recent weeks,
doesn't matter.
They still get the job done. And whatever phrase you want to use about Motherwell, you know, tailing off, running out of steam, I don't quite agree, if you'll allow me, that this notion that they've been figured out. Because when you talk about teams getting figured out, it doesn't usually take until March for that to happen. Now, that if that had happened after, say, 7, 8, 9 games, that would have been more applicable. But maybe they have run out of steam a bit. Do you think it'll be a nervy, Alex?
It will be.
It has been, hasn't it, Alex?
It's always nervy watching Hearts now because we had that kind of bigger gap, and we've obviously dropped points at Livingston last week, and obviously Rangers and Celtic both were in last week. So
you see, we're obsessing, Alex, on the league title, but Motherwell, for example, are going to your place tomorrow needing to get points because Hibs are at their backs for that place in Europe.
Yeah. See, when you spoke about the fixtures, Alex, how do you feel about it? The derby first up, and then, you know, if we're bookending these fixtures with that trip to Celtic Park, we were talking off air, and it's something I'd said on air earlier this week. I know it seems to have got lost. You know, people seem to be sort of complaining about Hearts going to Celtic last, but is that not the best place for that fixture? Because if you can keep doing your bit of the business, you might go to Celtic Park in the last day not even needing anything.
Yeah, but I kind of thought they might have gave us a home game last game of the season, but going to Celtic Park last game of the season potentially could maybe win the title there. I'm quite happy. The only one I'm more disappointed by is the Rangers 5:30 kickoff.
Yeah, the kickoff time. Do you not get the bank holiday?
No, not my kind of work. No, but I'm off anyway. But it's 5:30 on a Monday. Obviously, the first game of the season was an 8 o'clock kickoff against Aberdeen on the Monday night as well. So I just think the times and dates for the split are a bit unfair.
I think it's impossible, with the greatest respect, to satisfy everyone on when you should play, what time you should play, at which ground you should play on. You know, the SFA...
SPFL.
SPFL, rather. Callum Beattie, is it Callum Beattie?
I don't know if it's a one-man band, but he's certainly in one of those prominent roles.
How do you possibly come remotely close?
Well, I think... don't want to go over old ground too much. We've done this a lot this week, but Alex says, you know, I thought they might have given us a home game last... I referenced this last night. There's a good article by that Scotland's Coefficient page, which always gets all these things spot on, talking about it being a mathematical impossibility for Hearts to play at home at last.
Yeah,
because of all the boxes you need to tick, all the permutations, the fact that they've got 2 at home, Rangers have got 2 at home, Celtic have got 3, Hearts can't play at the same time as Hibs at home, Rangers can't play at the same time as Celtic at home. You're meant to finish either home away or away home. So once you feed all that in, you cannot come out with Hearts at home on the last day. Now that's a shame, and I get it. And imagine at Tynecastle, we all wax lyrical constantly about the atmosphere there and all that. But what do you do when your hands are tied?
When I say to you, Scottish football runs on spite, malice, and mistrust. This has been the week to underline that it's too early, it's too late, it's home, it should be away.
I think with the Monday night kickoff as well, I think that's the weekend, the EFL, doesn't it, down south?
Yeah, they've tried to tie it in with I read the fixtures. Is it Chelsea, Man City or something? It's like a big day of bank holiday football on Sky sort of thing, and the Hearts Rangers game comes in the middle. I think it's Chelsea, Man City, and there's a game before it. But anyway, but you're right, I think Scottish football might be the only place where and people don't believe in mathematical impossibilities. They just don't buy them. Just don't just think they're make believe.
You did that deliberately. You did that to sink us.
Right, thank you very much to Alex on the line. Looking forward to that game tomorrow for sure. Motherwell and Hearts. It's funny, the two games really entertaining, 3-3, and then not. It was then Hearts went to Fir Park really looking to sort of stop Motherwell, and it was 0-0. So very little between the sides this season in the head-to-head, certainly.
Yeah, it's a hard game to predict. I think if you're looking at it, it's a game obviously Hearts must win. Their home record, as you spoke about, is really good, and Motherwell, the performance levels haven't been really bad. They just haven't been getting over the line. I think they'll look at the game last week where they should have had a penalty. There's no getting away from that, and they didn't. They came off on the wrong side of the result. But that Motherwell team, if you're not at it, if Hearts aren't at it, Motherwell could win that game.
That's a good point, actually, the penalty Motherwell should have got. So if Motherwell don't finish third, I'm allowed to say it was because of that penalty. That's the way it works, is it not?
Yeah,
I've been led to believe. That's good. I'll keep that up my sleeve.
That's your conspiracy theory.
Yep,
taken care of.
Put that right up my sleeve. Disallowed goal at home at Falkirk in the first game.
Two conspiracy theories
as well.
Penalty away at Ibrox.
Yeah, maybe should have had one of them. This is not an open invitation for each team to get their lists out. Come on, my goodness. Let's have fun for the rest of this Friday night if we can. So Chelsea Forest that day, 3 p.m. Hearts Rangers, Everton Man City.
See, always think it's a
day. And the Saturday Sundays, the Championship, League One, League Two.
Sit closer to your mic.
Can you hear me? Slouching there.
Sorry. Yeah.
Nice and relaxed.
And the Saturday Sunday is Championship, League One, League Two down in England as well, isn't it? I think that comes to a close that weekend, is that right?
Lots to look forward to anyway, that is for sure. Thanks again to Alex on the line. Keep your calls coming in, please. 01419511025. Why don't we start hearing from Martin and Neil, Celtic fans? You might want to jump on here with some of this stuff. There was a quite significant update on Julian Araujo today. Let's hear it.
Julian re-injured himself under supervision at Bournemouth, so that was a real blow. I've only found that out today, and I don't think we will see him for the rest of the season. I don't know what his plans are, what sort of time element it is for the for his World Cup aspirations. I don't know that, but certainly for us, I don't think we will see him again if it's the same injury that he has redone.
Bit of a blow, isn't it, Scott? Because it comes at the same time as Alistair Johnson's not back. You know, he was the fix, if you like, or the solution to the Alistair Johnson problem that's been there for the majority of the season.
Yeah, he was a stopgap. Obviously, he came in January. Listen, I don't think he's been outstanding, but I think he's been solid enough, and he's had some decent games for Celtic. But that's just the way it's went for Celtic on the injury front this season. There's no getting away from it that they have had some huge injuries throughout the course of the season. But again, the last guy, as you said, down to last man standing, Tony Ralston. He has experience winning titles. He's an international footballer. And there's going to be a lot of trust now on him to come in and do the job for Celtic.
Let's
hear
a bit on Alistair Johnston as well, then, while we're at it.
He's trained with the team today, which was very encouraging. And I don't think he felt any ill effects, but that's, you know, he has joined in. He joined in before. Then he went and re-injured himself with the national side. But he's coming up well now, so would need him, really, as soon as possible. Don't really know, but he would have a... If he comes through today, the little bit of work that he did with the team and also the work that he did on his own with the recuperative team, then next week would be hopefully a good week's training for him, and who knows.
I think Araujo and Alistair Johnson come into the same category. They are, as well as being very gifted football players, they are big personalities. One of the abiding images of the season will be Araujo scoring the winning goal at Kilmarnock, jumping into the crowd for a bit of karaoke, and he is a big miss. Alistair Johnson, it goes without saying, is a huge miss.
Huge.
They're a fairly dull lot, the Celtic team. You know, they can do with a blood transfusion.
Wow. Personality competition. Yeah. What are you looking for them to do card tricks at half time?
Strong personality. I mean, they do scrape by, and that is to their credit. But the Celtic fans are used to a more expansive type of team. So I do feel sorry for Martin O'Neill in that he loses Orojo and doesn't have Alistair Johnson to call upon.
I think the Celtic fans will love that update, Scott. And he did say this last week, I think, but just to hear it again, Alistair Johnson's not played for Celtic since October. And by the way, that was his first appearance since August. His season really hasn't started. But was still allowed to go away with the Canadian national team and got re-injured. I mean, I get it, there's a World Cup and probably a conversation there where you've got to come and go a bit and try and, but as everybody knows, club pays wages, that sort of stuff. To go away with Canada and get re-injured is not ideal.
The optics on it are quite poor, to be honest. I think from Alistair Johnson in a selfish way, of course he'll want to go to a World Cup and go away and try and show that he's fit. But at the same time, Celtic are in a title race here in Scotland, and that means more to the Celtic fans than Alistair Johnson going away with Canada. But some football players are selfish at times, but
Was it maybe that TV gig he was wanting over there?
The club should have said, you're not going.
Doing his Gary Lineker.
When you put it like that, that he's been out since October and then goes away and re-injures himself, that is not a good look. And you can imagine that Martin O'Neill was really disappointed with that. But at the same time, like you said, you're trying to come and go with your player, keep the relationships. Mm. He is and will be a huge player for Celtic next season.
What about Daniel on the line? How are you, Daniel?
I'm not too bad, Pano. I hope you're all well.
Thank you. What are you thinking?
My point was to do with the post-split fixtures. Now, I see the point of view of all sets of fans. Celtic, being a Celtic fan myself, Hearts and Rangers. I also do understand home advantage plays a huge part. But if a team is that confident in their own ability, surely whether they're at home or away shouldn't matter. If they're that good and they're that confident that they can get the job done, surely you let the football do the talk.
I think before you even get to that, though, the home advantage, by and large, is only given to the teams who've not had as much home advantage pre-split. So I think it's even that, there's a layer before that. But ultimately, Daniel makes a...
The reaction to the post-split fixtures has been entirely predictable. Everything from conspiracy to maladministration, but it's nonsense.
Can I show you how naive I am? It actually has been worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we always have fun about it. There's a theory about everything here and there'd be something. But I think once you actually... It didn't take long.
No.
The facts were kind of laid out. You know, it should have been quite easy to go... Ah, okay, that's why that's happened.
Do you know what?
And not enough people did it.
We've celebrated this season like no other. The three-horse race, which was at one point a four-horse race. The sheer unpredictability of it all. And we have celebrated it and talked about it endlessly. You demean the whole season by then coming up with crackpot theories about they did this and they're supporting them, and one club runs Scottish football, and it is nonsense. Sit down, shut up.
From a Celtic fan's perspective, Daniel, are you going to win this league?
Of course I want to be hopeful and say 100%, but with the way it sort of worked out, I don't think anyone can put their finger on who's going to lift it.
Oh, nobody's committing to anything. I'm glad he didn't say 100% when Hugh's at 0%. That would have left us with quite a big gap in the middle.
You might be able to come back to me again and again and again, but at least I'll give you an opinion.
No.
Mealy-mouthed, sitting on the fence, championship.
It's not really sitting on the fence, though. When you're looking at the course of the season, it is very hard to...
No, but I'm not asking for... But I thought as a fan, you still have that, yeah, do you know what? I think we're going to do it. Yeah, I think that still, that can maybe still...
I think we've actually got three lots of fans here who haven't quite been in this situation before and they don't know how to handle it.
Well, Daniel,
afraid to express an opinion.
In theory, Daniel, and it's been a mad season anyway, so this might count for nothing. In theory, you have the so-called easier fixture, and at St Mirren fans, you're well within your rights to say that's... But I'm just talking about in paper rankings, where teams are in the league, whether it's home or away. It should be a fixture that you win. Daniel, do you have confidence that will happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident about tomorrow. And the way I've always seen it, as long as we get the job done from our side, the rest will take care of itself. And another thing I'd like to say, obviously with the Green Brigade coming back and a few players coming back to training like Osman and Engels, I think overall across the Celtic
keeping that one with confidence, because you know you're sort of returning to somewhat of a normality as a club. I think that at this time of the season is a crucial boost, and I think that if anything was to tip them over the line, it would be that.
What if the Green Brigade come back in tomorrow and Celtic lose? Do you just ban them again?
It's a fair point though. Martin Neil spoke about it today. I thought we'd have got round to it by now. Let's hear his take on having those fans back inside the stadium.
I think it does. Yeah, of course. It'd be great if that's the case. I think the safety regulations, I think, have been sorted, and I think that would give us a boost. Absolutely, because it's... the support is very, very strong, and it's great. And I would like, if that was the case, just to park things now, and let's see what the summer brings. I thought the support that we got at Dundee, I don't know if it's makeup, but the support we got from Dundee was fantastic, really fantastic. And I thought they kept us going during the course of the game. They weren't, they didn't seem to be highly critical of us. You know, when we conceded the penalty, could have dropped away. And they kept us going. I genuinely thought that. So I think in terms of vocal support, it's great to see them back again. But I think we've got to just see how it goes, and then and see how the end of the season, or see what the end of the season brings. But really, let's have a proper conversation at the end of time.
Thank you, Daniel. 0141 951 1025. That's the number. Still plenty of time here until just before 8 o'clock, so please jump on board if you can. Let me tell you about this before we go on any further.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Hugh Keevan's got Flashdance and Dirty Dancing mixed up earlier on, so I don't hold out much hope for him. However,
Strictly Come Dancing, was it?
We've been telling you all about the world's biggest music quiz with Ant and Dec on Thursday the 30th of April from 1 p.m. However, we are launching our own quiz night the night before. You can come along and actually take part in person, all in aid of Cash for Kids. We're calling it Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz because it's taking place at
Bad.
You looked at me, but come on.
You'll be there to see Ant and
Dec, wouldn't you? Oh, they're not bad, for goodness sake. But we are. George Bowie and Cassie are going to be there Wednesday, 29th of April from 6:30. Some amazing prizes, and every ticket sold helps support Cash for Kids. So it makes a real difference to the lives of children living in Ayrshire, Glasgow, and the West. So get a team together, put your music knowledge to the test. Spaces are limited, expected to sell out pretty fast. So please don't hang about. Clyde1.com, and we'll see you on Wednesday, the 29th of April, for Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz, all for Cash for Kids.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. Still loads of time to call them, so please do, on the usual number. Let them know how you're feeling ahead of the weekend. We've got a lot to get through. I'd like to talk about the bottom of the table as well, if we can, and Aberdeen and Kilmarnock playing Dundee, which is massive. Is there anything left in Livy? All that sort of stuff. But before we go any further, I've got a great question for you two.
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Jerry in Giffnock for sending this. It is an absolute cracker. It's topical, it ticks loads of boxes, and no offence, I think it's too hard for you two. But let's see how we go between now and 8 o'clock. Can you name the 9 Scottish players who've played the most games with Andy Robertson at club level, but they must also have played together for Scotland? That maybe makes it a bit easier.
Stuart Armstrong.
So hold on, let me repeat it once more. Can you name the 9 Scottish players to play the most games with Andy Robertson at club level, but they must also have played together for Scotland? So you've said Stuart Armstrong. Show me you're working, just so people get the gist.
Dundee United
and Scotland. Yes, they played 41 times together at Dundee United and 38 for Scotland. So you very much.
Robert Snodgrass
at
Hull City.
Well done. 49 Scotland. At Hull, 11 for Scotland. Get it now, Hugh, that you've got a few working examples.
You'll need to give me time on this one.
He's fired up because I said it would be too easy.
Shankland.
I saw that wee glint in his eye as if to say, I'm going to show you. Yes, 38 games for
Queen's Park
and 14 for Scotland.
Okay. You're cruising, Scott.
Let's leave it there. Thank you to Jerry and Giffnock. Thank you to our sponsors, Arkiplan Glasgow. And a plea, as always, for you to keep your questions coming in full time at Clyde1.com. It's a big story this week about Andy Robertson leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. So a teaser themed around that one. Let's bring in something just slightly different, because I want to welcome onto the show Paul McCaffrey. Now Paul is from Cahonas, Scotland. And Paul, you are delivering a tackling testicular cancer campaign in partnership with PFA Scotland this weekend. And I've got, I'm kind of hoping that of all the sort of shows and platforms out there that maybe speak most to your audience, to people that need to hear this message, I think we would be right up there. So tell us a bit about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and hopefully we can make even a tiny difference to somebody out there that's listening.
Yeah, no, again, thank you so much for having me on and allowing us the platform to talk about this. Yeah, so this weekend, right across the kind of the fixtures that are happening, we're doing the campaign tackling testicular cancer, and it's to help raise awareness of the disease itself, but also to kind of make sure that young men in Scotland know how to check themselves and why they should be checking themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some kind of high-profile examples, haven't we, over the years? I always remember hearing Alan Stubbs' story about it and the way he tells it, and Scott's nodding at his head, obviously played under him at Hibs. It's absolutely remarkable, but, you know, it's not lost on us. We've got a lot of female listeners, but we'll have vast majority male listeners, plenty of, you know, people that need to hear your message, Paul. So just tell us a bit more about what it is you're trying to get out there.
So what we're trying to do is make sure that guys know the signs and symptoms first and foremost. So that's lumps, irregularities, firmness and enlargement. And that lump is often a hard pea-sized lump, and that's going to be on the testicle itself. Any irregularities can be that bit of pain, bit of heaviness. Firmness is obviously self-explanatory. You know, it shouldn't be rock solid. But, you know, be careful when you're kind of doing that check, because you don't want to be singing Boy Soprano by the time you finish your check. And then enlargement, obviously, any change in size or shape. It's kind of the key things that you're looking for when you're doing those self-checks. And for us, we think that if you do your checks regularly, and that's hopefully once a month after a hot bath or a hot shower, you're going to know what's normal for you. So the power of that is that it's going to give you the confidence and the ability to kind of go to your GP if you feel that you have an issue down there, and be able to say, no, this is a definite change for me. And I think that's the thing that it can encapsulate as well, is trying to use football and yourselves as that platform to just get rid of the stigma and embarrassment around testicular cancer. I think that's the big thing. And you talked about some of the high-profile cases that we've had, but it wasn't until recently, when I was doing some research, we all know that Sebastian Haller had it recently, but there was three other guys in the Bundesliga who had it the same year, and I couldn't have told you that they had it, because it's just not reported as much anymore.
How important is that, you know, kind of early detection of the signs, Paul? How big a difference does that make?
It's absolutely key. You know, early detection is what's going to, you know, impact, you know, how much treatment that you may need. You know, some guys can go into just surveillance and hopefully the cancer doesn't spread to anything more. Other guys might just have to have that operation and then a little bit of chemo. But the longer that you hold off going to see somebody about it, obviously the outcome's worsened. So our hope is to kind of get guys engaged in this conversation and, again, be confident enough to just go, listen, this is my health. You know, we're taught from a very young age to look both ways before you cross the road, because it could save your life. Well, this information could do it, because I'm a testicular cancer survivor, and it did for me.
Tell us a little bit about your journey, Paul, if you can, or, you know, what you're comfortable sharing and how it led you to this point that you're now, you know, trying to make a difference to other people.
Yeah, so back in 2015, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. Like most men, you know, I was embarrassed to go to the doctor, so just put it off, you know, feeling that there was a bit of pain. I didn't really know, you know, what was going on. So as everybody does, jumped onto Google and, you know, Granny Google helped diagnose me. But I thought, I need to really kind of do this properly. And I came across the Cahonas Scotland website. I used their self-check guide, found that lump, and was able to, you know, have that confidence to then go to my GP and say, no, there's something here. And thankfully, you know, after having my orchidectomy and two rounds of chemotherapy, you know, back to kind of relatively normal health, and now working as the community engagement officer, as the community engagement officer for the charity that saved my life.
And forget whether the show or football audiences are male skewed. I'm sure they still are, despite, you know, massive strides being made. But this is such a football obsessed part of the world, isn't it? It's everywhere. It's in every household, it feels like, and so on. So how important a vehicle is football for you to try and get this message out there?
It's massively important because, like you say, it is. We are such a football orientated place, and you know, recently, you know, I've been in back in at Falkirk speaking to the first team. Just spoke to the first team in the youth academy at Rangers, and what I said to them was, you know, these young fans look to them as almost like heroes and role models. And if we can get football engaged in, you know, tearing down the stigma, engaging the discourse about testicular cancer, using these guys as a platform to the wider community, that hopefully spreads that awareness and the education that we want to provide as Cohona Scotland.
So you're on here, you've been in Sky Sports this week, I noticed, you've been round all the clubs, and is every Premiership club wearing the T-shirt this weekend as well for that visibility?
I think there's maybe one or two that just because of maybe timing and sponsorship stuff, but every club has been really engaged in making sure that the awareness is there. So if they're not doing something at the weekend, they're going to do something later. And, you know, thankfully over this last couple of years, we have been into, you know, I think now 10, maybe now 11 of the SPL clubs and delivering those talks. So yeah, the SPL's seems to be fully on board, and it's great.
Oh, brilliant, Paul. Well, we wish you well. Keep up the good work. Thanks for coming on and speaking to us tonight.
No, thanks very much, and take care and have a good night.
Brilliant, thank you very much. That was Paul from Cohona's Scotland, a hugely important initiative. And whether you can't stand listening to Hugh Keevans or not, the facts are a lot of people are listening. So if one person out of that Hugh hears Paul's message and goes and gets himself checked out, then ideal.
Football has to realise the influence it has on people. And Paul understands the value of this programme. I've spoken to John Hartson many times about the work he does with testicular cancer related topics. Very emotional about it, Big John, but he's doing great work. So, as I say, football has to realise the position it holds.
0141 951 1025. We'll try and get the answers to the teaser as well, which is Andy Robertson themed, when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Got a championship game between Queen's Park and Ross County about to kick off. I've got something I wanted to run by all of you who are stuck for ideas for the school holidays, and there will be loads of you. This will speak to many parents out there. Why not head along to the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden? Perfect day out for the entire family. Stadium tours, see the old dressing rooms, the pitch, look around the stadium. Thousands of objects on display there as well. We're actually working on a petition to try and get Hugh Keevan's glasses put in there very soon. The original Scottish Cup is there, the world's oldest national football trophy. The cafe, most importantly, is there if you need fed and watered as well. So if you go to Clyde1.com, you can win a free school trip for your kids' class to the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden. Full stadium tour, a quiz in the museum, packed lunches in the Hall of Fame, and a coached football session in the warm-up. So go to Clyde1.com right now to find out more. Speaking of Hampden, the guy who leads Scotland out there, Andy Robertson, is the subject of your teaser. Can you name 9 Scottish players to play the most games with him at club level, but they must have played together for Scotland? Snodgrass, Armstrong, Shankland before the break.
Go on, Scott.
Ryan Gold.
Yes, 6 Scotland games together, 37 at United. One more guess.
Johnny Russell.
No.
John Souter.
Yes, let's leave it there. Scott Allen's doing the teaser alone tonight, is what you will realise.
I won beat the pundit.
How impressive is this to go from a read about the museum, link it to Andy Robertson in the teaser, and Simon wants to talk about him on the phone? Honestly, a slick operation that happened pretty much by accident. So, Simon, what are you thinking?
Hi, guys. Hope you're all doing well. Yeah, listen, I'm a big Scotland fan, so I wanted to discuss, I don't think it's been chatted about enough really the last few days, it's a huge story. You know, the guy who's going to end up being Scotland's most capped player ever, you know, leaving Liverpool. I just really, really hope he doesn't go to Celtic. Now, I don't particularly like Rangers or Celtic. It's been well noted on here, but I feel like it would be the worst move for him at this stage in his career. He's still got something to give at a top level. I saw the rumours are like Napoli, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, those kind of clubs in for you. I really, really just hope he takes that opportunity, doesn't go to Saudi, doesn't go to Celtic, and has at least another couple of years playing at the really, really top, because I think he's capable. I think it would be great for Scotland as well to have another player playing, you know, abroad, learning. Players can learn from him as well. I think it would be a fantastic opportunity for him to end his, you know, have that last big payoff and have that, you know, to go, you know, an incredible stadium. Juventus Stadium's pretty good as well. You're Napoli, we all know all about that. So I think that kind of opportunity would be incredible. And I feel like if he decides to go to Celtic, it would almost be a admission of like, right, I don't really need to perform at that elite level anymore. I can almost take, I know you probably wouldn't say it out loud, but I feel it would be almost an admission that, do you know what, I don't need to give absolutely everything to be the best player in Scotland. But if he goes to somewhere like Atletico or over to Italy, I think it would be really good for his career.
See, before we go to what's next here, I've been really struck because like, the trophies and stuff obviously speak for themselves, and I know you're not a big social media user, but the depth of the tributes that have been paid, yeah, in terms of the number of people, who those people are, and how nice the words have been, really. Yeah. Now, I know players say nice things about their teammates, right? I get that. But, you know, if you read the tributes from Salah and Van Dijk,
yeah,
and players who used to play with them, and James Milner and so on, it kind of underlines how big a deal this is.
He's a proper player who's led a proper professional life. You know, there's the Andy Robertson Foundation where he looks after various charitable outlets. Not so very long ago that Tottenham wanted him and were willing to pay £5 million. So the state that Tottenham are in, they could do with him. Simon's right that you know, the move back to Celtic wouldn't, you would think, be his first thought. But if he does, like Kieran Tierney, if he does want to go back to the club that he supported as a kid, that's his business. But I think he's got more stuff to do before he gives up the game. And if there is interest from Serie A, which is the home of Scots now, then why not? Why not take that opportunity late in your professional life to go the whole hog, play in the Serie A, learn the language, absorb the culture. Whatever happens, Andy Robertson's had a terrific career and will end on a high note, I am sure.
What do you think's next?
I think it's entirely up to him. One thing we aren't privy to is how he feels on a daily basis. I think any player who stays at that elite level for such a long time, I think it is taxing on the body. There's no getting away from it. But you look at how well he's done, the journey he's been on. I think any younger player listening to what a road looks like in football to get to the top, there's no one way. What he's shown is he was let go from Celtic and he was resilient, went to a club like Queen's Park and just worked away. Dundee United then was the next step. So every step that he has taken so far in his career has been the right one, and that's allowed him to go and win some of the biggest trophies in world football with Liverpool. So he's been an absolute credit to himself.
Could you see that again? I appreciate it's hard, but not inside his head, right? But to speculate, can you see the Celtic fan thing coming to the fore at this point? Or as Simon alludes to, do you think that being where he is at that elite level, there's another, and don't mean to disrespect Scottish football, it'd be daft of us to do that, but there's maybe another step in between?
There maybe is, but I feel like the decisions you make at 25 are different to the ones you make it in your 30s when you have a family, and how much they obviously become part of your journey as well. I think it's very appealing when you speak about the clubs, your Napoli, your Juventus, etc. But if you spoke about it before, about his dream to obviously play for Celtic or finish his career at Celtic, so I don't think you'd be able to knock that either.
I agree with Simon. I would like to see him go to the desert, because it's the quality isn't there. He'd be wasting his talents. Yes, he'd get a lot of money.
I was going to say, you're not his accountant.
But I'm quite sure that Andy's comfortable. He deserves to go out on a high, and that would be in a country like Italy, or if he fancies it, staying in England. But I think once you've played for Liverpool, they don't they never want to go back and play against them, do they? So I think he's out with England. I think he's out with Scotland. And I hope he's out with the desert. And if there's interest from France, Italy or Spain, go there.
Talk to us about domestic football, Simon, because I've been meaning to talk about the bottom end of the table. It's maybe been lost a bit in the post-split fixtures at the top end. We're still dealing with pre-split fixtures, of course. One more. How big is Kilmarnock against Dundee tomorrow?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. I feel, you know, I was at the game on Saturday. We actually played pretty well. I think for large spells of the game, maybe for 60 minutes of the game, we were the better team. Created the most chances. We just had no one that was taking it, and we were done in by, again, our mental fragility. If we score first, we are absolutely grand, and we've got a good chance of going on and winning the game. If we concede early, and you can't concede much earlier than we did on Saturday, it just seems like the players' heads go. They just lose the plot, especially at the back. Tomorrow is huge. I think I've heard that the boy Ugans are a big risk for Dundee. He might be out, which would be a huge boost for us. He looks a really good player. Lewis Mayo back, really, which is a bonus for us. And obviously, if we beat Dundee, Aberdeen have a tough game against Tibbs, and Celtic obviously playing St Mirren. So, you know, that would drag the Dundee back into it, and all the teams would be separated by 2 points. And that thing would be, four teams separated by 2 points for the 11th place, which would be incredible. I just feel like this is... I think Neil McCann's done okay. The style of play is a lot better on the eye than it was in the start of the season. We still have that mental fragility, as I spoke about, and that's not something that you can change overnight, I don't think, but the priority is just to get through these few weeks, try and stay in the league, because the training ground's almost finished. That should be opened up in the next few weeks for the new season. The new grass pitch will be going in, you know, in a couple of weeks' time as well, when the season ends. There is about, I think most of our squad seems to be out of contract. I think David Watson will go to a higher level. He'll probably go to Italy. I think Bologna reportedly interested in him. I don't think there's many other. Lewis Mayo, again, out of contract, who I said he'll probably go to England. I think Barnsley was talking about him. And then the rest of them, there's maybe Tshibola, but I don't think the rest of them you're going to keep along. So it's going to be a huge, huge summer. If we can get through these few weeks, just do whatever we need to do. Hopefully drag Aberdeen back in, because that would be the funniest situation. But whoever it is, as long as it's not Kelly, even if we aren't finishing 11th, I still think we've probably got enough to stay up. But we just want to get that through, get through to the summer, and then hopefully start a rebuild, a new training ground, a kind of new era for Kelly, and hopefully it's a little bit of a brighter one than the last year.
Package those games together, Hugh, really, because Aberdeen against Hibs and Kilmarnock against Dundee. And Simon's outlined the picture there. Dundee are in 8th and 32, then Aberdeen and St Mirren together in 30, and Kelly in 27. It is, again, similar to the top, where whatever thoughts you've got about who's going to finish where might look completely different by you know, close of play this weekend.
You know, Kelly at home might be an advantage, but I thought Dundee did well against Celtic. When it got to 1-1 via the penalty, I thought Celtic might be in a bit bothered there, but Iheanacho and a red card, and it was a bad ending. That could go either way. St Mirren at Celtic Park, I do not write off St Mirren as having no hope at all, because they've given Celtic too many problems in the three games in which they have played this season, League and Cup. Aberdeen are fascinating. For me, there's no identity about Aberdeen. As I've said before, I know it can't be Jim Leighton and Willie Miller and Alec McLeish and Eric Black and all the rest of it, but there's no identity about them, and that shows on the park. So I think Hibs, who are trying to catch Motherwell and secure a place in Europe, Hibs have to present a real and present danger for Aberdeen tomorrow. I think Hibs will win that match.
Looking forward to it. Still goalless between Queen's Park and Ross County. The music's playing already. That was a quick end to the show. It caught me off guard, I must admit. We're looking for the 9 Scottish players to play the most games with Andy Robertson at club level, but they must also have played for Scotland together at some point. Snodgrass, Armstrong, Shankland, Gold, Souter.
Ben Doak.
No.
McBurney.
No. Now you're toiling, aren't you? There's a kind of more obvious Hull one, if you like. So they played 59 times for Hull together and 10 for Scotland.
What position?
Goalkeeper.
David Marshall.
And?
Come on.
The other one, who also was at Hull and also for Scotland and also wears gloves to his work. David Marshall only played 12 times at Hull. Who was the other one? They were quite pally at Hull, these two. Alan McGregor. It's David Marshall, Alan McGregor, which means two to get. Stuart Armstrong's pal.
Gary McKay-Steven.
One Scotland game together. Oh. I like that.
That's why I didn't put.
And the last one, the Hull connection. The problem with this guy, quite far apart in age, but they did play 8 Scotland games together. Hull. Sean Maloney. Thank you to both of you. Wow. Back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Friday with the GBX.